This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Antoine Grajeda. The final Theater Squared production in Nadine Baum Studios, before T2 moves across the street to its new space, is now on stage. The Legend of Georgia McBride is a comedy about an Elvis impersonator who loses at a Florida bar when the owner switches to a drag show. Last Wednesday, the day after the final dress rehearsal, Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums spoke with the director Bruce Warren and the costume designer Bryce Turgeon at the Carver Center for Public Radio. Kyle asked Bryce about the collaboration required to bring the Legend of Georgia McBride to the T2 stage.
Well, I feel like this is a special circumstance because Bruce is a good friend. And I've actually been out of the theater scene for like 5 years. And Bruce, like over a year ago, approached me about this show and asked if I wanted to do it. So I think most shows start out about, what would you say, like 5 or 6 months out? But we've been talking about the designs and stuff for this show for over a year. And so we have a special relationship to where once a production report comes out, Bruce and I have already talked about it. I mean, we hang out every night. We talk about the issues. So I think what we have is not the norm, but it definitely is the best way to do it, as I found. I don't think I've ever been in a final dress rehearsal that felt so complete. I mean, I'm generally a control freak who will put things on other things until, like, the show closes. But last night, I feel like I looked at Bruce and I was like, I think we're good. I think we did what we had to do here.
So there have been times when you've watched something, go, you know what? I can tweak this a little
every
bit.
Time. Wow. This is the only time I've... My assistant says it's called birthing the baby, and it's the first time I think I've ever done it at an appropriate time.
And we had hours of talking about, okay, what is this character? And in this particular scene, where are they at in the story?
We should have added it up. kept a timer every time we talked about the show.
It would add up, I'm sure. But I think you can see it. The time spent in those conversations is apparent. Like, every look tells a story. And every costume change, is integral to the plot. And I think they are all inevitable the way we've made them, too. And Bryce is a genius. I can't wait for you to see it.
Yeah, we kind of had a realization last night about, you kind of try to avoid past productions. I actually worked on the first one that was in New York off Broadway I built for it. And a lot of productions tend to treat the drag as a joke or as a punchline. And it's distracting because the story, the script is so good, but you don't really get to pay attention to it because you're watching these guys throw on really silly, stupid kind of costumes. And even though we've really amped it up to a high level, it kind of is less of a distraction. Like, when the audience trusts the visual of what a drag queen is supposed to look like, they can exhale and they can watch the show and they can get the story. So I think what we did by making it so over the top is actually level the story out and let the audience hear what the words actually are versus figuring out what's happening on stage.
You want to get it right, but you don't want it to distract from the story, the characters.
Exactly. It's all in support of telling this story. In every department, I kept asking along the way, what story are we telling with that? Because that's the ultimate. Who's it for and what's it for? If we answer those two questions, the rest will take care of itself, I feel.
Yeah, he asked it so much, it's now inundated in my head. And I'm like, you're going to have a watch because now you've made money and it's been a month and we're going to hide the watch. And I'm like, Bruce, get out of my head. I'm like, it doesn't matter what color underwear they are wearing. That's not the story. But everything I put on them now in my head, I'm like, what story are we telling with this necklace?
Well, let me ask about that, both through directing and design. When does that switch flip that, okay, if I go another step, I've gone too far. I'm doing too much. I'm micromanaging.
I mean, you tell me when you figure that out. Because, I was at a point last night where I had to look at the people in the costume shop and I was like, you have to stop me. You've got to stop me because now I'm severely finding, the tiniest little details. But I think last night, when you look at it and you're like, everything is cohesive. And I feel like we almost had an example last night of adding something that was on a bigger scale and seeing, wow, we've created such a tight, ecosystem in the show, that one part that is even not in the exact scale is so off. Mm-hmm. You can really tell. And I think kind of having that mistake was good to see how solid the world is that we've built in the show.
Let me ask that about directing too. When, you've got a talented cast here, when do you know that they can take it and you can step back?
Well, I mean, it's you don't have an option after opening. You release it, whether or not they can take it. But luckily with this group, they are well prepared, and there's so much heart and talent and skill in the execution of this that I am very trusting of leaving it in their hands. We were able to think out loud in the rehearsal process. It was a lot of collaboration. And really finding what worked on the actor and how can we help you? Those are questions that I ask a lot. How can I help you? Because if they know the story and they know what they want to play, I don't want to get in the way of that. I just want to help.
There's a lot of excitement buzzing around this show. I want to give hardly anything away here.
Okay.
But let's give that 60-second elevator pitch to someone who might not be familiar with Georgia McBride.
A young Elvis impersonator in the panhandle of Florida.
If you're not hooked yet.
Yeah, I know I am.
Yes.
I'll seriously consider seeing this show.
Yes.
He loses his job and is replaced by a couple of drag queens. And he and his wife find out they're pregnant. And so he is faced with a sink or swim moment. And we get to watch a lot of fun in his decision-making process.
It's kind of like the most absurd story that can also stay in reality. It really is a push. And it's interesting because I was a full-time drag queen for 3 years. So watching it and seeing the parts that are very true and the parts that are a little over theatrical is really interesting because you're like, oh, if I had a nickel for every time this happened.
I'm also... I'm obsessed with these moments, partially because when you get to creating, there's a character who I've called now the fairy drag mother. And the show is called The Legend of Georgia McBride. It wasn't the story or the tale or a play about. It was a legend. And so we were looking for a mythic symbol to attach to it, which I think we've done for Casey in Georgia. We have the phoenix, which I think has turned out beautifully. You'll see little hints of the phoenix throughout. But Miss Tracy, being the fairy drag mother, allowed for some stage magic moments and some things that were a heightened reality. And we buy it because it comes from this character that is in this world but not necessarily of it.
Yeah,
at all times.
And the play is written so cinematically. Like there's sometimes you read a play. It definitely was in like the mid-90s. It became a thing where plays were being written and musicals were being written that were like movies. And that can either be determined from design or really push it. And I think we really nailed it because it's kind of a challenge when something is cinematic because they don't give you too much time to change and everything kind of happens within itself. And so that... if you can meet that challenge, it's amazing, and it's kind of like either a succeed or crash and burn. There's no middleman in that kind of thing, and I think we succeeded pretty well.
Yeah.
How many items of clothing are involved in this?
Oh, my God.
I wish people could have just seen the look on your face.
There's probably... oh, I know. There is... we built 20 looks. And that's just the drag queens. So I would say with all the other clothes, there's probably looks, probably like 30, and pieces, probably like 275 individual pieces. And there were three people building the entire thing in 3 weeks.
A lot of it was Bryce not sleeping.
And, yeah.
And like working his fingers to the bone.
I held on. Last night was the first good full night of sleep. But it was real good.
Which is more challenging, a show like this where you have the chance to explore and go big, or something like The Full Monty where a lot of the people are looking, quote, normal every day?
That's so funny because one of the last shows I designed before I quit theater was The Full Monty. And, I mean, that was good. I think the thing, what's different about this show is that when I left the theater world like 5 years ago, I opened up my own brand and started making clothes for drag queens. And so that, over the last few years, I've been inundated. Like, that's all I do is I make clothes for upper-scale drag queens that are on a huge level. So coming into this was, like, interesting because the first time we talked, I mean, the design definitely changed 360 from the first time we chatted because I was kind of going at a place of... when you're making designing for theater, you're really thinking about the full story that you're telling with the clothes versus drag. It's one number, one story. So I think I was so caught in that the first kind of round of designs we talk about was a little static and like everything looked good but was different. And I think over the last like 6 months, it's been like kind of amazing to mix, like, what I love about theater, which is that storytelling element, versus, like, the eccentricity of drag, and letting that eccentricity follow a storyline. And I think it's going to make me coming out a much stronger drag designer because, like, the story element is there and the theatrical element is there. And so I would say, I guess there's different challenges. Like, I love the boy clothes in this show. Like, the non-drag clothes, I, like, love it because I like hyper-reality, you know? And I also like a gay man's take on, like, super heterosexual fashion where it's still like, I'm going to force you to match, but you're going to look grungy. That's my rebellion. It's my agenda.
Bryce Turgeon is the costume designer for the Theater Squared production of The Legend of Georgia McBride, currently in production at Nadine Baum Studios in Fayetteville. We also heard from Bruce Warren, the play's director. They spoke with Ozarks at Large's Kyle Kellums last week. You can find out more at theater2.org.